The word today is if. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher, Paul Schrader. The tiny word if can certainly change things in our lives. Often it is part of a dreary remorse, if only I had known, or if only I had done. Here from our archives to help us analyze the ifs in our lives is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, If.
I've been talking about very important words in the English vocabulary, and I'm sure those of you that are listening to these messages in India and China and other parts of the world, the translators have been using words from your vocabulary in your language in the same way that I have been here in the English language. Now, the word that I want to describe today is the weakest word in the English language, in my opinion. It is such a weak word and troublesome word and negative word that I would simply call it a weak, weak, weak word. And that's the word if. I-F. If. I'm sure that you've heard people say, if only I had known. If only I had been aware of this situation. If only I had done this or that. If. And what we're trying to say is things would be different if I had reacted a different way. Things would be different if I had behaved myself better and not done something evil or wrong. And we constantly talk about if. Well, if is such a weak word because it can't change anything at all. It doesn't change a single thing. You can talk about it all day, and nothing changes. Now, let me give you an instance, for instance, where the word if is used in the Bible. It's an interesting situation where the word if is used. It's in the account of David. You remember that David's son, Absalom, rebelled against him. And in fact, Absalom had gathered together an army of his followers and was fighting against David, his dad. And so it was a terrible situation. And so when David sends out the army to crush the army of Absalom, he tells all of his generals, I believe there were three of them, and the ones whose name, the one I remember is Joab, because he becomes an integral part in this whole story. But there were two other generals, as I recall. And he tells all these generals, now, when you find the army, yes, of course, you have to kill off the army, but please, please, please do not kill my son Absalom because I love him. Please do not kill Absalom. Take him alive and let him live. Well, if you know the story in the Old Testament, the accounts of the wars and everything, we see Joab on one occasion, and he's fighting in an area where the army of Absalom is. And so he's coming after them, and all of a sudden he sees hanging in a tree, hanging by his hair. Absalom was known as a very, very handsome individual. And he had very long hair. He was very proud of his long hair. And as he's riding on horseback, his hair gets tangled in a low-hanging branch of a tree. And it catches him up, pulls him off his horse, and here he is hanging there. Just when Joab comes along, and Joab sees Absalom. Now, Joab had been warned by David, don't you harm Absalom. And yet Joab, no doubt, running through his mind was all the terribleness of this rebellious son Absalom. No doubt Joab felt very, very proud of his master David, his commander-in-chief, and he no doubt hated the guts of Absalom. And so when he sees Absalom helplessly hanging there from the tree, he decides, I'm going to kill this guy and get rid of him. He takes three darts and he puts them through the heart of Absalom. And, of course, now the picture changes and we go back to David. David, who is waiting to hear word about how the war is going. There was one runner, one guy that comes back by the name of, I shouldn't have started that sentence because I don't remember the guy's, name. Anyway, he comes back and he doesn't know that Absalom is dead. And so he makes the report to David, how are things going? Well, it looks like we're winning the war. It looks like things are going okay. And David says, what happened to Absalom? And he says, he doesn't know. And so David settles back again, and he's waiting for the second runner. And the second runner's name I do know. It was Cushi, K-U-S-H-I. Cushi is coming. And Cushi was aware of the fact that Absalom had been killed. And so when he comes bringing the news, yes, we're winning the war, and David asks him right away, what about Absalom? And Cushi says in a cryptic way, may all your enemies be as this young man is. And, of course, the point, immediately David realized his son was dead. May all your enemies be as dead as your son is. And, of course, then David grieves and grieves and grieves. And this is where that word if comes into play. All of these events happened out in the woods of Ephraim and the battle. Let's not dwell on that. Let's go back again now to David. And David is mourning and mourning and mourning. And finally Joab, his trusty general, Joab, is disgusted with David, and he tells David off. And, of course, he tells him off in a rather blunt way. He said, I suppose if your son hadn't been killed, you wouldn't be mourning like this. In other words, he reminds David, you don't seem to care about your entire army or the fact that a lot of people died fighting for you, and you're just immersing yourself in your own pity and selfishness. All you're being is selfish for your own loss and your own sorrow. And boy, he really tells David off, so much so that the next day David realizes how selfish he's been, and he gets back to work. He puts an end to his sorrow and goes back to work. Well, now there's a case. And that's where that word if is used by Joab in that sentence where he rebukes David. In other words, I suppose if you could change things, if, well, you can't change them. Now get over it and stop your grieving. That's basically what he says to David. Well, let's take another Old Testament illustration. It's Balaam. Now, Balaam is a well-known prophet in the Old Testament. We don't think of him so much, I guess, as one of the major prophets, but he was a prophet at the time that Balak, B-A-L-A-K, I'm spelling some of these words out since maybe it's been a while since you heard about Balak. He was king of the Moabites, and he had asked Balaam to come and curse the invaders. Now, Balaam didn't know really what to do, so he decided to take some time. He would let God speak to him during the night, and during the night God came and said, no, you don't go and speak a curse against the people that are invading the Moabites. I don't want that. And so Balaam says, well, God doesn't want me to do this, so I'm not going to go. Well, you see how then he weakens finally, and after all, Balak is king. And he asks him again, why don't you double-check this and make sure you're right? And you recall that finally Balaam decides to go. That was his major problem. He was disobedient to God. He decides to go. And so he rides an ass, a donkey, and he's on his way. And all of a sudden he gets into a narrow pass there, no doubt a rocky crevice area. And all of a sudden his donkey stops and bulks and raises up and has a fit, and in the process crushes Balaam's foot against the wall there of the rock. And, of course, Balaam gets extremely irritated, and he begins to beat his donkey, you remember. And then finally he sees what his donkey had seen, an angel of the Lord with a sword. And all of a sudden he realizes, wow, no wonder my donkey was having a fit. And he realizes, you know, this whole process. And now we get to that word if again. See, if only, he says, if only I hadn't come. And he tries to back out. You see, he tries to tell this angel that I think I better go back home. I shouldn't have come. If. And the angel says, no, you committed yourself now. Go ahead on and complete this. And so you have that word if again. I think people often try to get out of situations. You know, if only I had known. If only I was aware of your feelings. If only this or that had happened. If only I'd had money. If only I had had a better childhood. If. Well, the past, you know, people say, if only I had had this in the past, I'd be a better person. I wouldn't be so negative. I wouldn't be so mean. I have even heard people blame their parents. Well, it was my mother that always lost her temper, or it was my father that was always mean, and that's why I am the way I am. You know, or sometimes they say, if in the future I had a lot of money, I'd give more sacrificially to the Lord. You know, the Lord answers that for us. Don't use ifs with him. He doesn't deal with ifs. He deals with reality, with facts. He says, if you're not trustworthy with a little, how can I trust you with something bigger? And so I guess the whole point, if you're spending your life ifing because of the past or ifing because of the future, I hope you'll get over it. Kind of think of Joab coming here and saying, shape up, live for today. Today is the only time you have. Live it correctly. Live it in a repentant way. Live it in an obedient way. Live it in the way God wants you to live, and then you won't have to say if. You'll be able to say thank you, God, and you'll be able to praise him for your life.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.